Okay, tonight is October the 15th, or Dalet Cheshbon. This is Masecha Sukkah, we're up to Daf Chav Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabotai, we started the second parak last week. We read the Mishnah and focused on two Tosfos last week. We're actually going to cover some ground today because the Gemara itself goes off on a wild tangent attacking Rabbi Yehuda until it gets to the point is almost on the Chaf Aleph on the Beis. And it's much of it is Taharus issues. So instead of getting bogged down line by line, I'd like to try to get from beginning to end tonight, and then say a couple of things along the way about some of these more esoteric Tumim Tahara issues about Eichel Zaruch and things. Not exactly a common day activity here. Okay, the Gemara is the second line of the Gemara. The Mishnah had quoted a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the majority of the Chaverim as to whether or not one is permitted to sleep underneath a bed in a sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said that we slept underneath the bed and nobody objected. Nobody objected to. Then Rabbi Gamliel reported, if you remember correctly, that Tevi, his slave, slept underneath the bed. And Rabbi Gamliel was delighted to show how proud he was of the genius exhibited by Tevi. Because Tevi knew that he was a slave. Slave is exempt from all mitzvot aseh, and as a result, he slept underneath the bed. So, even though he didn't say, Rabbi Gamliel, that if you sleep underneath your bed, you're not yotzei the mitzvah, but certainly one can infer from that statement based on what Rabbi Gamliel has said. So now for the next omer and a half, almost blot, the Gemara will try to attack Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Tanan Hasam. So it's the second line in the Gemara. Now third line in the Gemara. Echad chor shechiruhu mayim. O shratzim, O sha'achal to malachas, v'chein madbach avonim, v'chein su'ar shel korot, ma'ahil al hatoma. Here is the case. This Mishnah is talking about creating an ohel to be chotzeitz mifnei hatoma, when there was no intention to create an ohel. The halacha is as follows, that if you have a mace lying on the ground, the tumah keeps going up. However, if you have a tefach between what and what, between the mace and the next thing on top of it, so then that item, which is on top of it, but there is a gap of at least a tefach between the mace and the deceased, that is chotzeitz b'fnei hatoma. Shields you from what? From the tuma as it keeps going up. That will shield you. If the cover is less than a tefach from the mace, then it does not accomplish anything. Then you are tameh. Then you are really tameh. So here there is going to be a machloikis about an ohel that was created naturally. What happened? You had a whole bunch of rocks and water was running through a little stream, a river, or whatever it was, a river running through, and the water carved a hole out of one of the rocks. And now there is an ohel, there's a little gap between one level and the next level. If there should be underneath this boulder, right, there's a boulder on top, boulder on the bottom, and a crack in the middle. if there is a mace on the bottom, and there is at least a tefach that the boulder, that the removed boulder created, then standing on top, the top boulder on the top, you will be tahor. Even though nobody intended to make this into an ohel. No one intended. The water did it. So that's what the Gemara, the Mishnah says. Echad chor shecharruhu mayim. A hole, a crevice that was created by water. O shratzin, little bugs ate through the dirt, whatever it was, and created a cavity. O sha'achoto malachas, or if minerals, comes from like melach, salt ate away and corroded one of the stones and created a gap. V'chein midvach avanim, same thing is true with any pile of stone. V'chein suar shel korot, same thing if I have a pile of boards which are going to be used for construction purposes. Somebody had a whole stack of boards, somebody took some of the boards out, created a gap of a tefach. Now on the bottom level there is a mace, I am standing on the top, I will now be tahor because there is a gap between the mace and myself of at least a tefach. None of these ohalim were made by anybody who intended to do so. It just happened to have been made. So the Tanakhama believe that an ohel that is created automatically like this is an ohel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Kol ohel she'eno asui bidei adam, eino ohel. Any tent-like structure that is not made by man for the purpose of what? Of creating this tent-like structure, halakhically it is not considered an ohel. And as a result, when you are standing on top of it, the tumah will continue to come, and you will become tameh standing on top of it. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Asks the Gemara, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reason which Rabbi Yehuda believes is responsible for the halacha that an ohel can only be created by Adam, but not naturally? Answers the Gemara, Yalif, ohel, ohel, mimishkan. We will learn, compare, make a gzereshava between the mishkan and ohel as it is used in the context of Tumas Meis. Ksiv hacha, it is written by Meis, Zos HaTorah, Adam Kiyomus VaOhel. This is the halacha in Parshas Chukas communicating to us the fact that in order to become Tamei Meis, you don't have to touch the deceased. As opposed to all other forms of Toma. If I have had a dead animal, right? A nevela. A nevela is mitame. But a nevela is only mitame b'maga or b'masa. You have to touch it or carry it. But if you simply are in the same room with a dead animal, you do not become tame. However, Tomas Meis is conveyed simply by being in the ohel. And that's what this pasuk in the Chumash is dealing with. Ka zos haTorah adam ki yamus ba'ohel. Uksiv hasam. And it is written in Parshas Pekudei. Vayifros es ha'ohel al ha'mishkan. What they did was, as you well know, the roof in the Mishkan, when Am Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, it did not have a fixed roof. It had a tent-like roof. They took three different pieces of material and they covered the aron. They covered the Mishkan itself, the boards. So the Torah says, "Vayifros et ha'ol al ha'mishkan." Drash, ma lahalon bidei adam. Just as the construction of the Mishkan, the tent-like nature, was done by somebody putting the ohel on top, right? It didn't just happen. Afkan bidei Adam. Here too, when the Torah writes, Zos HaTorah, Adam ki yamus va'ohel, what type of an ohel creates an ohel? An ohel that is made by man. But an ohel that is not made by man is not an ohel. And therefore it cannot shield you. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. To Rabbanan, how do the Rabbanan counter such an argument? Rabbanan say, no, ohel, ohel, riba. In Parshas Parah, Perek Yutet, of Sefer Bamidbar, the word ohel appears half a dozen times in the discussion of Tumat Meis. So since it's quoted many times, don't just say the word ohel once. It's written ohel many times. So since it is written many times, riba, it comes to be marbet, to make an inclusion, that you can have one tent that is what? Made by man, and another tent that was not made by man. And both of them halachically are considered an ohel. Both of them halachically are considered an ohel. Okay. The Gemara is not going to get back to what we're up to for another block, another omud, omud and a half. Can you anticipate what direction the Gemara is going to? Just based on this discussion?
This is not like a sukkah, because a sukkah has to be made by...
Not quite. It's obviously related to sukkah. But what halacha do you think this Gemara is going to be attacking with this line of thinking? What? Correct. According, that's what's going to happen. So this is already a sneak preview. If Rabbi Yehuda believes that what? That in order to create an ohel, you have to intend to do so. Well, when you have a bed, does anybody intend to make the underneath the bed as an ohel? Do you intend to make an ohel by sleeping on a bed? No. So if you don't intend to make the ohel component of it, it's not an ohel. So if it's not an ohel, where are you sleeping in this sukkah? You're sleeping in the sukkah. Because the ohel, the bed on top, is not going to serve as what? As a chatitza between yourself and the schach. Why will it not why won't it? Because halakhically, this ohel is insignificant. That's where the Gemara is going to go with this eventually. So why would Rabbi Yehuda say that what? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that, so now we're going to attack, we'll see what Rabbi Yehuda said about sleeping in the sukkah under those circumstances. That's what the Gemara is going to head to. So we'll see in a couple of minutes. Gemara's not finished yet. Says the Gemara, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda kol ohel she'eno asui bidei adam, eino ohel. You mean to tell me this is indeed Rabbi Huda's opinion, that if you have an ohel not made, constructed by man deliberately, that halachically it is not an ohel? The Reminu, I will attack you based on the following halacha. This source will deal with the preparation of the Parah Aduma. The preparation of the Parah Aduma was a very strange preparation. And the reason why it was so strange was as a result of a debate between the Tzukim and the Prushim. We know that the one who prepares the Parah Aduma, the Soreif et HaParah, that's correct. Everybody knows he becomes Tameh. The question is, at the time when he's preparing the Parah Aduma, in what state of Tahara must he be at that time? No. Is he allowed to just require Harav Shemesh?
He does need Harav Shemesh.
He always needs Harav Shemesh. Question is, does he need something else as well? The Chachamim allowed, the Prushim believes that a Tvul Yoyim,
without
Harav Shemesh, is allowed to be Soreif the Parah Aduma. Which means as follows. Somebody touched a neveh. Okay? A kohen touched a neveh. Then he jumped into the mikveh. You don't become completely tahar until sunset that night. Harav Shemesh. Actually, Tzeis HaKachav. until Tzedek HaKham that night, you don't become totally Tahor. Your status in the interim is called a Tvul Yoin. A Tvul Yoin for certain halachas is considered Tahor. For other halachos, a Tvul Yoin is considered Tameh. We traditionalists believe that a Tvul Yoin for the purposes of burning a Parah Aduma is considered Tahor. Is considered Tahor. The Tzukim disagreed, and they said that in order to be considered Tahor for Parah Aduma, you have to have already had not only gone into the mikveh, but you have to have Harav Shemesh as well. The sun had to set, and you have to be completely Tahor, not this quasi state of Tumah and Tahara. As happened so frequently, whenever the Tzukim and the Prushim argued, the Prushim, the traditionalists, went out of their way to demonstrate that the Tzukim don't know what they're talking about. So how did they demonstrate this? The person, now hold on a second, the person who is going to be so raised to Parah Aduma has to be guaranteed that he was Tahar, guaranteed that he was Tahar up until this point, and then, right before he's going to be metameh, right, he's going to be so raised to Parah, we are going to be metameh him, then we're going to dunk him into the mikveh, and then he's going to do the Parah Aduma. That's what they did. And they will have gone out of their way to make sure that this person was never Tameh before, so that when he does become Tameh, everybody will understand he became Tameh right this second, and he's going straight to the mikveh, and there will be no Harav Shemesh as yet. That's what's going to happen. Why? To demonstrate to those lousy tzukim that they don't know what they're doing. This became very, very popular technique of the Chachamim. The most famous illustration was Ktsiras HaOmer, cutting of the grain of the Omer, where Beis Din made this huge ceremony out of cutting the grain of the Omer. They had to have a whole Beis Din standing there, members of the Beis Din, and they'd say three times, cut, cut, cut. Why? Because the Tzukim believed that the cutting of the Omer was always Saturday night. Mimachras HaShabbos. So they interpreted Machras HaShabbos, always Saturday night. We believe that Machras HaShabbos means the day after Yom Tov, the day after the first day of Pesach. So they made a whole gedilla out of the Ketziras Omer, Lahoitzi Me'libin Shol Tzukim. So this brisa will indicate the length they went to demonstrate how this guy will have remained Tahar until they decided to make him Tameh and throw him into the mikveh. Bereminu. Chatzeros haya benuyos v'yushalayim al gabi hasela. The way they used to build courtyards in Yerushalayim at that time was they were built on top of rocks. V'tachtehem chalal. Below those rocks where is at least a gap, a chalal, empty space of at least one tefach worth, mipnei kever hatahom. Kever hatahom is a gzeira midrabanan, that if you didn't know that there was a cemetery or a person buried here, you just assume the possibility maybe somebody was buried here. Well, in case somebody was buried here, and if I step over that grave, what happens to me? I become Tamei Beis. So what they're going to do is construct Yerushalayim in such a fashion that it will be possible to make sure that even if there is some dead guy lying around here, somebody is going to be shielded from being exposed to that Tamei. Okay? So the one way, number one, which they did was they insisted that the courtyards be built over rocks, on top of rocks, but not a rock that's mamish on ground level. There has got to be a halal of a tefach beinehem. Fine. That's step number one. Step number two. Mevi'im nashim ubrot. Pregnant women will be brought there. pregnant women, the yoldot shom, and they must give birth in this area, must give birth in this area. Umigadlos b'nehem shom lapara. And what are we going to do? They're going to raise their child here for the purpose of what? That this child will now be so raised apart. This child has never been exposed to Tumah yet, because he was just born, and he spent his whole life, his early childhood, in this area, not possible being exposed to Tumah. Very nice. Umizin shvarim, and now they bring lots of oxen, v'al gabehen dalsos. And on top, sitting on the back of the donkey, is doors. Long, wide doors. V'tinokos yoshvos al gabehen. And these kids are going to be what? Sitting on top of the doors. V'kosos shel even b'yedehen. And they will have glasses or pitchers made out of stone. A stone can never be mekabel tumah. Stone is never mekabel tumah. So what we're going to be looking for is a way to draw the water for what? For the afar sreifas apachatas, because you need water for the to take when you burn the paraduma, you mix it with the water. Everything has to be tar, right? So you want to make sure that you draw the water, and nothing has been succumbed to tumah as yet. Nothing has been exposed to tumah. Hegio l'shiloach. Now they ride these donkeys with doors on them, these ox with donkey with doors on them, and kids sitting on top of the doors. They came to the Shiloach. The Shiloach was a river bank right outside Yerushalayim. Yordu l'toich hamayim. They lowered their hands into the water. Umilum. And they filled up these stone what? Stone cups. V'alu v'yashvu lahem. And then they came and they sat with the water there. Rabbi Yossi omer, mimkomo haya mishalshel umimalei b'tekever hatahom. Rabbi Yossi says no. That the halacha is, there's a debate in Rabbi Yossi in the first opinion, whether or not the drawing of the water had to be done with koyach adam directly or not. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to. You can lower a what? A bucket into the water when you're sitting on the donkey or on top of the board, on top of the door which is on the donkey or on the ox, and lower, with the string, you can lower it in. The Chachamim, the first opinion, says you may not do so, because you cannot draw the water for the Afar Sreifas HaKatas by having it done, by just lowering it in. It requires Kayat Adam. You have to actually put your hands in. Now, when you lowered yourself to the riverbank, what is there a possibility that you came in contact with? Came in contact with Tumah. The Chachamim said, since we don't really know for a fact that what? We don't really know for a fact that there is a grave there. It's just a chashash midrabbanan. That's called kever at the home. So because of a chashash midrabbanan, we're not going to override the din d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is, you must scoop the water out, according to their opinion, by hand directly. So therefore, lowering in the bucket is not going to be good. So when the kid leaned over and lowered his hand into the water, at that precise second, should there have been a kid or a body buried there, he would have been exposed to the tumah. Because up until now, what was protecting him from the tumah? What? The door. That's correct. The door, which is sitting on top of the donkey, on top of the ox, is wide. There is at least a tefach between what? Ground level and the door. So therefore, that shielded this child from any tumah.
But if he had to lower himself to what? To scoop out the water, he possibly would have been exposed to Tumah. But we don't really care. Because the concern that there is a possibility, there is a grave here, and we don't know for a fact, that is only a Gzera Midrabanan, a Chashash Midrabanan. A Chashash Midrabanan is not sufficiently potent to override the Din D'Oraisa. Rabbi Yossi says that's not the halakha. He says, you don't have to do it by hand, doctor. You can just lower it in. Yeah.
Is the door necessary because the shore by itself is not...
Oh, the Gemara's going to come to that in 2 seconds. But Rabbi Yehuda's going to come and say you don't need doors. The ox itself, if he's wide enough, will create exit. We'll see. That's exactly what's going to happen. Vitanya, we learned in a brisa. You peeked ahead, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Vitanya, we learned in a brisa. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo hayu mevi'in dal sos. They did not bring doors and put them on the ox. El shvarim. All you did was bring wide body ox. So now, and it had to be wide enough to make sure that the kid's feet do not what?
Stick out.
So the animal is so wide so that it has enough fat on it to protect it and shield that even the foot of the kid sitting on this sa'at will be protected by a barrier, namely the flesh of the thing, and that is at least one tefach off ground level. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you did not need a door. Now, when you put the doors on, what was the purpose of the door? Making it an ohel. By relying on the shvarim,
it's a natural thing.
The shore is not fact because anybody intended to make it into an oil. So therefore the Gemara now asks, Vitanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo hayu mevi'in dal sos el shvarim. Asked the Gemara, v'hashvarim d'ohel she'eno asui bidei adam hu. Ukatani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo haya mivin de la sos el shvarim. So how can you tell me in our Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that any ohel that is not created by man halachically is not an ohel? Here Rabbi Yehuda himself says quite the contrary. An ohel created automatically by virtue of the fact that what? A shore is very wide, is sufficient to create an ohel and shield the kid from any potential tumah that will be there. Answers the Gemara, Ki asa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Elazar, Moda Rav Yehuda Kimelo Egrof. When does Rav Yehuda say that an ohel which is not made by man is not an ohel? Only if it's the minimum size ohel, a tefach worth. But if it is the size of kimelo egrof, and Rashi says, what is kimelo egrof? It's the size of a fist of what? Of this very famous person. I don't know exactly who he was, but his fist was as big as what? The head of a kid. Now that's a real big ohel. An ohel of that size is considered an ohel, even if it was done to Mela.
Doesn't Lumizayr show us the Mishnah?
What?
I think Lumizayr.
This is Kashi. Good. Everybody has their Kashi. Question which Tzvi asks is, if the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda is not a svara, if the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda is learned on a zerushava from ohel to ohel, and the halacha teaches us that what? You must necessarily make an ohel in order to create an ohel. How do you arbitrarily say that if the OL is a small one, then it has to be made by man. But if the OL is a big one, then it can be done by automatic.
And there aren't a heck of a lot of good answers to that question. Correct. It's a very good question. Very good question. I don't have a good answer for that. I'm telling you, Rishonim asked that question. Yeah.
What about the incidental question? It's unrelated to Ohel. That this woman who gave birth on this Kva'im, is she Tmeya? Is it somehow she has Neyuda, or she gave birth on this on these rocks?
She is Tmeya, not the baby. The baby is not. That is correct. The kid, believe it or not, remains Tahar. That's correct. She herself becomes Tmeya. Now, the Gemara is still not finished yet. Tanya Namihachi. We learned the Brisa to this effect. What did the Brisa say? Umode Rav Yehuda Bishkifin Ubenikike Haslaim. Rav Yehuda admits that in this particular case, where you have Shkifin, and they create, this is talking about Shkifin, and are holes in a mountain like, which the wind blew out, and they blew out not a little pebble, they blew out a whole boulder. So the hole that is created between the top level and the lower level, it's not just a little tefach worth, it's a huge one. So the Brisa just confirms the previous answer, that when you have an enormous size gap, that type of an OL can even be made naturally without additional, without kavana of the person. Ask the Gemara, Vahare Deles, the Yeshba Kama Egrofin, Ukatani Rabbi Yehuda, Lohaya Mivin Dalsos, Elishvarim. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say that they did not bring dalsos, creating the impression that bringing a deles is what? Is no good. No good. Why not? Why not? A deles certainly will what? Create what? What type of a gap between ground level and this? Much more than a Tesla, a little bit. So why did Rabbi Yehuda say don't bring doors? So what are you going to answer? He didn't mean to say you're not allowed to bring doors. Then you don't have to.
That's what the Gemara's going to say.
Says the Gemara, no. Omar Abaye, lo hutzvichu lahavi dalsos. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda said you're not allowed to bring dalsos. Just said you don't have to. What if you bring? If you want to make an OL, there's an easier way to make an OL. Just rely on the wide body shvarim that you're bringing. Rava said no. Rava Amar, no. Lo haya mevi'in dalsos kol ikar. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda gave you a choice. Either create the what? Create the ohel effect by having the kid sit on a door, or create the ohel effect by having him sit on the ox. No. You don't give him a choice. Why? A kid, they're looking for excitement. Now a kid, when he sits on the door, he feels secure. So if he feels secure, what might he decide to do? Look underneath what's going on. Lean over on the side of the door and then maybe stick his hand out. And then he'll become within the range of the mace and he'll become something. But an animal, kids are afraid of riding an animal. They don't feel that comfortable. So if they don't feel that comfortable riding an animal, there is no concern that what might this animal, what does this kid do? That he's going to suddenly lean over and try to put his hand underneath. That's what you have to worry about. You'll ask me, why does he feel more comfortable on a door, which is sitting on an ox, than on the ox itself? I didn't bother I didn't find too many Rishonim who explained it.
They must probably tie your door down.
What?
What?
No. No, he's going to sit there very, he's going to scared stiff. So he's going to be sitting exactly where you put him. He's not moving around on this ox. So for this reason, Rava claimed that Rabbi Yehuda objected to the Tanakhama. It's not the way Abayi said, you don't have to bring Delso, you're not allowed to bring Delso. And the only way in which I will enable you to what? Create this Ohel effect is by relying on the wide body Shvarim. Okay, let's keep going. Gemara is still not finished. Tanya Kavase de Rava. We learned in a brisa like Rava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Lo haya hayu mivin dalsos kol ikar. They did not bring any doors whatsoever. Mipnei shida'ato sheltino gasa alav. Because the mindset of a kid is he becomes very aggressive when he's on the door, and then shema yotzim at rosho o echad me'evara, perhaps he'll stick out his head or one of his limbs below the door level, v'yitma v'kever hatom, and then he suddenly will become exposed to tumma. Ella, what do we do? Mevi'in shvarim hamitzrim, they would buy Shvarim from Mitzrayim, Shikresosein Rechavot, whose bellies are very, very wide, the Hatinokos Yoshvin al Gabeim, and these little kids were sitting on top of them, the Koso Shel Evan Diadehen, and they had the stone utensils in their hands, because the stone cannot be Mekabotoma, Hegia Lishiloach, Yordu Umilum, the Olu, the Yashvu Lahen al Gabeim. Very nice. Okay, fine. Excellent question. So all Rishonim say that when there is less Brera, to worry about the, so when there's less Brera, so I'm not going to worry about Kever Akrahom. So when is it less Brera? When you actually have to be scooping up the water. But when you're not scooping up the water, you're just taking your convenient ride, we will now be Chayshish Litahom. And if you're going to be Chayshish, you have to worry that the kid's going to put his hand on it, and Midrabanan, he will be disqualified. Not Midrabanan, son, he'll be disqualified from Midrabanan. That's the way, always trying to ask you questions. Seems to be a little inconsistent. I grant you that. Yeah. Now the Gemara is going to get back to what this whole business, what's this doing with Al-Masechta here? Asks the Gemara, Zaharimita, the Yeshba Kama Egrothim, generally speaking, between ground level and what? And the bed, there is more than one tefa. So if there is more than one tefach, what halacha has been created by the person by having the bed? What's the halacha? What's the status underneath his bed? What? It's an ohel. Even though he didn't intend to make it. Why is it an ohel even though he did not intend? Because it's got a big enough size. It's got kama egro thin. So if it is an ohel, halachically an ohel, and would be chotzeitz v'pnei hatoma, what else should be triggered as a result of this ohel? He's no longer sleeping in the sukkah. Where is he sleeping? Underneath the bed. So why did Rabbi Yehuda say, back in the Mishnah, that what? Noyadim hayinu b'fnei hazakenim. We were of the practice in the presence of the zakenim to sleep underneath the bed. What do you mean sleeping underneath the bed? You, Rabbi Yehuda, acknowledge that an ohel, which is bigger than a tefach but the size of an egg roll, is halakhically considered an ohel, even if you didn't intend to make it as an ohel. Therefore, once halakhically it's an ohel, it's chotzei between you and the sukkah and the trunk. So how could you possibly be yotzei the mitzvah sleeping underneath the bed? That's the Gemara's Tasha. Let's read it inside. The Harimita, the Yeshba Kama Egrofim, Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Noagim Hayinu, Shayinu Yeshenim, Takasamita Bifne Hazakainim. That's the Gemara's Kash. Answers the Gemara. Shani Mita, Ho'il Uligaba Asuya. The Gemara gives a very longish answer. The purpose of a bed is to sleep on top of it. Big Kiddush. Bed, Kiddush is to sleep on top. So that's when you sleep on the top of a bed, it's not just saying, you know what, the bar underneath the bottom is what's going to automatically going to become an overhead. No. It's making a statement that what am I concerned about in this bed? Only the top, but not the bottom. And therefore it's as if I blurted out of my mouth, what did I blurt out of my mouth? I don't want underneath the bottom of the bed to be considered an overhead. It's as if he said. And many Achroinim, just 1 second, give the following parallel to explain what's happening here. Let me just give the example, and then maybe the Nimshol will be clear. There is a famous debate, Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana Unas. Famous debate, whether you have to have in mind, every time you perform a mitzvah, do you have to be aware of the fact that I'm doing it with shame mitzvah? So if you hold Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, that means yes. Every single time you do a mitzvah, in order to get credit for the mitzvah, you have to have in mind that I'm doing it with shameless. That's why, for example, the Rabbanan created a Berachos HaMitzvah. Why do you think the Rabbanan created the Berachos HaMitzvah? So that we will focus before we start picking up the lulav and just doing it indiscriminately without, that you focus. Know that you said, Asheki Nishan of the Mitzvahs of the Sivano, Al Nitzilas Lulav, etc. So I don't, but we pass in Mrs. Ein Tzrichas Kavana. Let's assume you hold Mrs. Ein Tzrichas Kavana. Okay? Mrs. Ein Tzrichas Kavana. But what happens if somebody has in mind not to be Yotze the Mitzvah? It's in mind. Not to be Yotze the Mitzvah. For example, talking about Sukkah, one of the answers on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph in Masechta Sukkah later on about how can you make a bracha on the lulav and esrog? As soon as you picked it up, you were ready to open the mitzvah.
That's good.
As soon as you pick it up, you know, so how are you making the bracha? So one of the answers is you turn the esrog upside down. That's our problem. But one of the other answers of Tosfos is, just have in mind, I don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah until when? Until I make the bracha. Why? Because even if you pass in Mrs. Ein Tzrichas Kavana, you can't be forced and coerced into what? Into fun if you have something in mind. Some Achroinim explain, the Rashash and a couple of others, explain our Gemara the exact same thing. If it's just automatic, you're an airhead, then if you're an airhead about a gap, the size of an egg roll, that will create an over. But if I do something deliberately to show that I only want A and I don't want B, so then no B can be turned into an OL against my will. Says the Gemara. When I sleep on the top of the bed, I am making a demonstrative statement that which part of the bed am I using? Only the top and not the bottom. Therefore, in this case, the automatic halacha of an ohel, despite the fact that it's as big as an egg roll, the automatic halacha of an egg roll, of an ohel, will not be triggered. If the automatic halacha of an ohel will not be triggered, therefore, will the bed serve as an ohel, as a chatzitza between me and the schach? No. Will you be able to sleep underneath this bed? Yes, that was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Yeah, Mark.
But when they bought these extra wide oxen, they also clearly made that point.
Mark's next question. It's okay. That's good.
It's a little ironic that we're saying that his intent is important here, and he didn't have intent at the bottom, you know, yet he sits under it.
Correct. It's a little strange. Correct. But that's what the Gemara answers thus far. Namely, Shani Mita Ha'alula Gaba Asuya. Since it's designed only what underneath the stuff, therefore, it can't be made into an OL unless you intended to do so. And obviously, Rabbi Yehuda didn't intend to do so. Ask the Gemara, so now the Gemara asks Mordechai's question. Shvarim Nami Ligaba Nasuyin. So why in the world do you ride an ox? Not because you want to have what? You want to sleep, you're not sitting underneath the ox, because you're riding on top of the ox. So therefore, obviously, that's not going to be creating an OL.
That's what you're
correct, and therefore, automatically, it should not be an OL on the bottom.
That's why you're riding on it, is because you want it to be an OL. That's
why.
Underneath?
No, you want it to be an
OL. No, normally you don't. Normally, that's not why people ride on shmarit.
Correct.
The Gemara doesn't answer that. That's a very good point. Why didn't the Gemara answer that in this case you specifically wanted the bottom? Gemara doesn't answer that. Let's see what the Gemara answers. Answers the Gemara. Ki asa Rabbi Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shani Shvarim, Aksa different. Hoil umaginim al haroim bechama nehachama, ubegishamim nehagishamim. Says an ox has, by definition, has underneath usage. Why? Because when it rains, where do you think these shepherds hide to protect them from the rain? Underneath the ox. Don't you ever see that?
All the time.
Or if it's very sunny, where do they sit? Underneath the ox to protect them from the sun. So therefore, the situation with a shore in general is that it is made for the bottom of it. Since it's made for the bottom of it, it serves as a what? As an oil. Ask the Gemara, well, don't you put your slippers underneath your bed? Ihachi mita nami hoel umigina al min olim v'sandailim shifakteo. Every one of us are careful that when you take off our shoes, we neatly stack them underneath the bed. You don't just leave them slopped around in the bedroom, right? Everybody does that. You neatly tuck your shoes underneath the bed. So obviously, the underneath the bed is also designed deliberately for what? For what? For ohel use. If it's done for ohel use, then it's going to be mafsik. How could you be sleeping underneath? Ela marava, shani shvarim, hoyul va'asuyim lahagein al bnei me'ayim shelahem, shene'emar, or ubasar tal bisheni, uba'atzamot v'gidim tesuchacheni. So he says like this, the Gemara's first answer, which is far from compelling, that there's a difference between a bed and what? And an ox. By the ox, there is a pasuk itself that uses the expression that the flesh of an ox will serve as what? As some type of covering, shield, shelter. But a bed, there ain't no such equivalent pasuk. Therefore, we will stick to our original gun and say that with the bed, since he didn't intend to what? He doesn't, no, most people don't intend to use the bed. It's not an OL. If it's not an OL, therefore you're allowed to sleep underneath it. But why isn't underneath, why don't you say the same thing about the underneath of an ox? Because by an ox, there's a pasuk in Iyuv, which specifically uses the expression that its flesh will be tisochei, will cover me. So since there is a pasuk, obviously that's a built-in use of an ox. But it's not a built-in use of what? Of a bed, to use it as a store place for your slippers. Not, again, not exactly the most compelling piece of Gemara we've ever seen. Right. After all of that, the Gemara says maybe that's not what's running through Rabbi Yehuda's mind. The Ibai Yisema, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Latame. Second answer is no. Rabbi Yehuda also believes that the bed underneath the bed is an ohel. So if it is an ohel, how do you sleep underneath it and be yotzei? Rabbi Yehuda Latame, the Amar, sukkah diras keva be'inan. The sukkah has to be what? A permanent structure. The hevelei mita diras aroi. The sukkah ohel keva. The bed is what? A temporary. Nobody permanently sleeps underneath beds. The sukkah is a permanent structure. And as a result, velo osi ohel aroi umivatel ohel keva. The temporary hut that is created by the underneath the bed is not sufficiently potent to do what? To do what? To be mevatel, the permanent roof that is on your head on top of the sukkah. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to sleep. Not that it's not an ohel. It is an ohel. But it's an ohel aroi. And an ohel aroi within the confines of an ohel kavua cannot be mafsik. Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon de Omar Nami Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. Rabbi Shimon, who says that what? Sukkah also requires Diras Keva. And yet Rabbi Shimon agreed with the Chachamim that you're not supposed to be sleeping underneath the bed. V'asi Oel Aroyu Mevatel Oel Keva. And says, well, you're right. V'hal Pligi. That's exactly the point. Mar Savar Ohel Aroy Asi Oel Aroy Mevatel Oel Keva. One is of the opinion that an Oel Aroi can be Mevatel and Oel Keva. Umar Sovereign, Rabbi Huda holds, Lo Osi Oel Aroi Umevatel Lo Oel Keva. Mevatel Oel Keva. Right? So the Gemara winds up with two explanations for Rabbi Huda. Either he believes that the space underneath the bed halakhically is not an Oel at all. Or he believes it is an Oel, but it's only identified as an Oel Aron. And he believes that a sukkah has to be a Diras Keva. And the halacha is that an Oel Aroi cannot override what the status of an Oel Kavua. Fine. I want to just throw in one or two cases that the Gemara asks based on this halacha of Shvarim and Dalsos and so on and so forth. Taisvis and all Rishayna, Rash Father Ritva, Kulam, ask the following question. How did the Gemara attempt to claim that putting the boards would be sufficient to create an OL to protect that child from any tumah underneath? Or even the donkey or the Shvarim itself, the way Rabbi Yehuda said. There is a halacha that Ohel Zaruk Lo Shmei Ohel. What does Ohel Zaruk mean? Zaruk means it literally means thrown. It means it's in motion. An Ohel that is in motion is halakhically not an Ohel. Where does the Gemara state this? The Gemara quotes a famous case in Masechus, it's quoted in Ervin and on Gittin and Afes Amid Beis, concerning the following case. There is a gzeira midrabanan that all of Chutz La'aretz is tame. It's called Tumas Amavim. That means that Zev Kahana, if he's living in Eretz Yisrael, he's not allowed to come to Chutz La'aretz. We, Yisraelim, perfectly okay. We can be metame anytime we want. But a Kayan, he's not supposed to be metame. He has to be protected because if he's tame, he can't eat truba, he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, and he's not going to this. He can come tame. So the Gemara deals with a funny case. It's a Gemara in several places. About a guy who came into Chutz La'aretz being transported in a box. Sheva Teva U'Migdal. He's being transported to Chutz La'aretz in a box. And the question is he tamei or is he Ta'ar? So it's a machloikis between Revi and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Revi holds that the person is Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says that you are Tahar. And the Gemara says, what is the machloikis? Whether a moving ohel is considered an ohel or not. This guy is shielded from the ground, but he's moving. So if he's moving and it's not halakhically considered an ohel to shield him, where is he? It's as if he touched the ground, and therefore he's Tahar. But if you hold ohel zaruk Shnei Ohel, that a moving Ohel does halakhically constitute an Ohel, this guy can be brought in from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and he'd remain Tar. So Tosfos here, the Rashba, everybody has the same kasha. Assuming you hold Ohel Zaruk, Lo Shmei Ohel, that's the way the Rambam Paskins, or Rishon and Paskin, like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that an Ohel Zaruk is not called an Ohel. How did the Gemara propose in our Gemara that you're going to protect the child by having ride on the Shvarim or with the doors? They're all in constant moving. They're constantly moving. So what are you going to accomplish with this? What did the Gemara accomplish with this?
What does the box accomplish?
The box is going to be chaitzeitz between you and the Torah.
And the ground?
Yeah, because there's going to be a tefach.
It's not an enclosed box.
It's an enclosed box, precisely an enclosed box.
Is it the enclosure or the fact that the
stack is a chatzitza?
Well, then it doesn't have to be a box.
Okay, but that's what it's called. That's what it's talking about. A closed box. That's it. Right, doesn't have to have a cover. But as long as he's in this box.
As long as he's...
That's correct. So Tosfos says right here on that Chav Aleph Amud Aleph, how does it suddenly work? How does it suddenly work if it's Ohel Zaruk? So there are a couple of answers to this question. The Ritva says, that just as our Gemara fabricated an exception to Rabbi Yehuda's rule, what was Rabbi Yehuda's rule? Initially, what was Rabbi Yehuda's first rule? That in order to create an Ohel, it must be done b'yedei adam, asui b'yedei adam. A natural made Ohel is no good. Yet the Gemara what? Made an exception to the rule. Based on what? How big the Ohel was. If it's just a minimum size, it has to be made with kavod. But if it's a big size, so too says the Ritva will do the same thing with Ohel Zaruk. There is a halacha that Ohel Zaruk is not called an Ohel. But that's only if it's going to be when? A small little one. But if it's a big one, then an Ohel Zaruk works. So of course, the Gemara played games with the first halacha, we'll play games with the second halacha too. That's how the Ritva answers the kasha. Rashba gives another answer. Another answer. There might be a difference between a kli, something made out of eights and eret. Fine. Don't need that right now. Just know that there is such a question on our Gemara, and the halacha happens to be, as the Rambam codes in Perek Hay of Hilchos Tumas Meis, halacha Yiralot, the Rambam writes that Ohel Zaruk Lo Shmei Ohel. And the Rambam does not distinguish the way the Ritva did, big Ohel, small Ohel, and therefore many ask the kashas, a Rav Chaim, 3 pages long, in the Chiddushin Rav Chaim, trying to explain the Rambam Shita, how the Rambam would get along with this particular Gemara. I started going through it, it's just very, very complicated, I didn't quite get it. But just know that there is such an issue in the Gemara itself. Okay. We'll stop here, Rabotai. Next week, Rabotai, there's a member in the shul who's making a wedding next Monday night. So,
are we all invited?